Okay, good, fine.
He's all good. He's good.
All right, so we're ready to roll here. Okay, so. All right, so Shteret again, coming to this year. Tehillim, and Shem will try to be mevarer exactly what, where this Tehillim is coming from, and what's the pshat that it hasn't been universally accepted. As we can see from everybody's tzitzis, it hasn't been universally accepted. I'm going to be very, very straight. The problem with this Tehillim is that anybody who has a sefer on it, or has an article or periodical on it, is extremely with their views, extremely stark about their views. So you have people, you know, Megalopanim, Shalik Allah, extremely at the other side. Everybody is very, very either pro or anti. I'm going to try to cut through the middle and explain both sides, which is why I call it the debate. We're going to be neutral here, exactly. So if anybody has an agenda here or like rotten eggs in their pockets, I'm going to be on both sides. Okay, that might be, I get hit from both sides. That's a problem. Okay, so first of all, what happened to the Tehillim? We have a pasuk in the Torah, "V'nasu atzis takon apsil tcheles." You have to put tcheles on your dalet canvas, on your on a beged, on your talis. You have to put on besides the white strings which we have. You have to also put on blue strings. And these people you see around, people wearing these blue strings. Even after the Chorban Abayas, it was Mavur in the Gemara that they had that there was some blue strings. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is actually the makor of the song David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim as well. There's a song where Rava, it was clear that there was some sort of gezeira against Tcheles, and because of that, Rava sent Tcheles to somebody, and he said, send a sign if you got there that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So we see that Tcheles was still around in Rava's time. Rava was born in 311 or 313, is Machlekes, and he died in 351 or 353. He only lived 40 years. It is Gemara Menachas. Rav Achoy found Tcheles. Also, it was considered very unusual. The Gemara said that Rabbi Choy came in with Tehillim. And Akupana Rabbi Choy was a bit after the Gemara, he died in around 500. And so we're talking about 1,500 years ago, they still had Tehillim. During the time of the Goenim, there was conflicting reports in the Goenim. Rabbi Nechoy going to Smashma that you did have Tehillim. Rabbi Hai going to Smashma that didn't have. The wording of the Goenim is what we're taking out of. Some say, Nohagu to do Tehillim like this. That's Smashma that they did still have Tehillim. Other people say it was the minhag to do like that. That's mashma. They didn't have tailors. So it sounds like in the time of the Goenim, there's conflicting indicators of whether or not they had tailors. And for the times of the Rishonim already, it was lost. So there we have Machlekes. All the Rishonim discuss it. Rambam, Balamor, they all discuss whether or not what would it be now that we don't have tailors? Are we only supposed to wear pure white or nothing? And that's the Machlekes. And but Akupanim in the times of the Rishonim was certainly lost. So what happened? It was lost. The tchelis was gone. How come? There's an Arizal. The Arizal says because after the Chorban, and he goes into, he extends, and he says, with a long explanation, he says that sometimes our relationship with Hashem after the Chorban Abayis is better represented. I'm taking out it's a total free translation. It's better represented with white strings rather than with the tchelis that was better represented during the times of the Chorban. So after the Chorban Abayis, tchelis was nignaz. In fact, there's a Sifri. The Sifri says as follows. There was an old man who came to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi asked this old man, how do you do parnasa? What's your parnasa? He says, I work in the tchelis industry. He says, there's still tchelis around. The old man said, yes, there's a certain mountain which has a lot of spiders on it, whatever that means. And whoever can get past it can get to the tchelis, and I'm able to get past it. So there is still such a thing as tchelis, and that's my parnasa. So from the fact that it was so hard to get to, Rabbi Yossi commented, I see that the tchelis was nignas le tzadikim le asad lovay. So there's a sefri. There's two midrashim, a medrash tanchum and medrash rabba, that say beferish that achshav ein lanu tchelis. So we have seemingly clear indicators from Chazal that the tchelis is not coming back until Mashiach's time. Because of this, Reb Chaim Kanievsky refuses to hear any riots. He says, nothing. There's a video online of Reb Chaim Kanievsky discussing this tchelis. He is brushing them away. And even if they say he's not brushing, it's clear from the video, anybody can watch it, that there's nothing to talk about. Tchelis is nignas. There's a tshuva also. Tchelis is nignas. Lubavitcher's Chabad as well. Comes from the previous Rebbe. They were asked about the Razinus tchelis. He says, I'm not even listening to any riots. There's a midrash. There's an Arizal. There's a Sefri. There's nothing to talk about. These midrashim are brought down in the Goyim Lahalacha. The Goyim Lahalacha brings down these midrashim, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that nowadays There's no tailus, and therefore you should wear all white. Zot the goyim. What do you mean nowadays there's no tailus? He brings down these midrashim. Aruch HaShulchan, on discussing the Radinus tailus. Aruch HaShulchan is the poetic from in the previous generation. Rabbi Shapayim says you go with the Aruch HaShulchan over the Mishnah Brura. The Aruch HaShulchan says, in regarding the Radinus tailus, don't help him out. It's not true, as the tailus is not going to return until Mashiach's time. So you have all these people who refuse to even hear the Shaila. The pro camp will respond, 1 second. It doesn't say that Mashiach has to be the one to bring it back. It says that it won't be Nignaz for a time. It will be Nignaz until it will be brought back. We all are feeling the footsteps of Mashiach. And therefore, it's very often that Mashiach is going to come any day now. Wait, the first day Mashiach is supposed to come, all these things are supposed to happen new. We're supposed to get a base pigment, some carbonates, and die tailors with it. And how are all these things supposed to happen on the same day? Things are going to happen slowly, piecemeal. And therefore, day one, we're going to have tailors. And then this is going to happen, then that's going to happen. This is part of the birth pangs of Mashiach. This comes into the good side. We're getting some of the mitzvahs back slowly but surely, especially the midrashim. It doesn't say the midrash nignaz until Mashiach. It says achshav nignaz. Now it is nignaz. What does now mean? In the times of in the last 1,500 years. But of course it's going to be a time that it's going to come back. That's the response. As well, they ask questions on the Sifri. 1 second, the Sifri was written well before Rav Achoy. Rav Achoy lived in 500 CE. The Sifri was written much earlier than that. So anyways, the Sifri is Mukha Shminei Obey. The response to that is 1 second. It didn't say that it was Nignaz Lagamri. The old man said he was still there. Plus, it could be that they had tailors from the time before the Sifri was written and still was around for 100 years. Maybe somebody found his grandfather's beggar with tailors and it came to Rav Achoy. The point, it doesn't say that it was made new. So here we have a machlokes and how to understand the Sifri. Again, I'm on both sides. I hear both sides. It's very possible the Sifri says it will not come back to Mashiach, which is the Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Rav HaShulchan, most of the Rebbes, besides the Reziner. And that's the reason why most people don't have tailors nowadays. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says nothing to talk about. Aruch HaShulchan says nothing to talk about. So you can bring me 1,000 riots from today to tomorrow, and they're going to be good riots, but it's nothing to talk about. And the pro camp will say, like we said, what do you mean? It just says that it's going to be hidden. It doesn't say specifically in the Medrash until Mashiach. So that is the machlokes. Now the pro camp does have some people on their team. It's Mefurish in the Ma'aril. It's Mefurish in the Radbaz. That tailors can come back before Mashiach. It's not an open shut case. Exactly. There are definitely people on the Achroinim, definitely Achroinim who say Beferis that it could come back. In fact, one of the riots from the pro camp, and we're going to call them pro and anti just for lack of better words, one of the riots from the pro camp is that the Rush and the Rift bring down all the halachas of the Tilazim. And have died tailors. 1 second. The Rush and the Rift don't bring down any halachas with regards to carbonates. They don't bring down any halachas with regards to any of the how to make the big day kahuna. Why not? Because it's not Negea. When Mashiach comes, he'll tell us what the halacha is. It's not our responsibility. Like, we're going to write down the halachas that are Negea until Mashiach comes. That's how the Rush and the Rift and the Rift paskin. And yet they bring down all the halachas of the tilazim and of tailors. Why? The pro can't bring this as a raya the Rush and the Rift hold that it's hidden for a time, but it might come back before Mashiach. So there's quite a lot of sources on the side on the program that you could be madchad the Sifri in the Midrash of Arizal. So what's the riot from the Rif and the Rush? So nobody discusses this, but I personally found that the Aruch HaShulchan brings down the exact same halachas as the Rush and the Rif, and the last statement in the Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Tes, says, and with regards to the Razinus Chelas, don't listen to him, because it's not there till Mashiach comes. So there's a raya. The Aruch HaShulchan also only brings down things that are negiah nowadays. And yet the Rush, and yet he himself says that albeit I'm bringing down all these halachas, it's not negiah. So for whatever reason I'm doing it, he's doing it. But it's a yoyich menakah. So there goes the raya. I'll go find it from the Aruch HaShulchan's side. The Aruch HaShulchan says the fact that the Rush and the Rift bring down is not a raya, because I'm bringing it down also, and I'm clearly stating that it is not negiah till Mashiach comes. So it's not an open shut case. This can be, both sides are open. So from now on, I'm going to give an estimation of how much, what do I think, like 90%, each raya, I'm going to bring, what are the chances that it is the correct tilazim, and this is correct tilazim, we're going to be calling it 90% throughout, 20%, whatever, we'll see. And we always have to remember that there is this tzad that you can never go past 50%. There's never past 50% that it's the right tilazim, because of all these opinions that you can't start. The shayla doesn't even start. There's another shayla, and that shayla is, there's a Messiah against it. Rabbi Yashiv Ben Soloveitchik,
coming from the Beis HaLevi, quotes the Beis HaLevi, that says that you can't invent a mitzvah. If, for example, if you don't know the chilazon anymore, you cannot suddenly say, I want to, this is going to be the chilazon. You can't go to an aquarium and say, this looks like the bluest fish. It's probably the chilazon. You can't do that. Even if you have rias, the maximum you can, on what a mitzvah is, on how to do a mitzvah, maybe you can declare, you can have svaras like this, like that. But on what a mitzvah is, you can't invent and rediscover a mitzvah. Include Rav Sterbach, Rav Asher Weiss, they all go with the Shita as well. The problem with this, and the pro response to this, is that what are you talking about? Maybe you're right, but Al Kapanim, not everybody agrees to that. Harai the Chazanish, he went and he found a new Esrig. We have Chazanish Esrig. That means he went to the field and he tried to find an Esrig. And we have people eat turkey. There's no Messiah on turkey, it was an American bird. Terrace is, we went, we investigated, and we said it fits the bill, so we're going to go with it. So it's over here. You can go to an aquarium, find something that fits the bill, and go with it. So again, we have a machlekes over here of the briskers. This is not only Rav Yosef Berzovetschik, but including the briskers in Eretz Yisrael. So both camps, both of the brisker camps go against this. Rav Herschel Schachter, incidentally, says that he disagrees with this because of the riots that we mentioned in Turkey, and he brings other riots as well. So you have the YU split. They have the Rav Yosef Ber, and I don't know exactly who follows who, but we have, I'm saying, there's definitely a lot in the YU camp that do wear. So you have Rav Herschel Schachter, the Alev Shalom, who did wear, he himself wore, and he argued. Right. Rav Herschel Ber was anti, it's printed, not only is it printed, he said it over 1,000 times, it's printed in English, it's printed in Hebrew, it's printed everywhere, and there's nothing, it's for sure his Shita. And then the chiddush is that Rav Shatter argues, and he brings it down, and he says he disagrees.
He wears
tailors. Yeah.
He wears. This is about Bishul also.
That's the second. So now there is the Rezina wrote a sefer with regards to his.
In the late
18th.
Yeah. My great-grandfather wore that Steelers from Rezina's first batch.
Right.
He came to America in 1904, one of the four strings ripped. Saved the three strings. Rezina's grandchildren came to America, the Boston Rebbe told them that he has a busted on a farm who has the Steelers from the original batch. So they came and they took those. Only had three strings, but they had one, and he had three, so they put them all together. We don't wear,
It didn't get passed down.
So
there are those who wear, even the Rezina Hasidim still wear nowadays, and the Rezina Enochah still wear nowadays, including, I believe, Rebbe Shachar is a Rezina Enochah, and he's a Rosh Yeshiva in the New Jersey neighborhood, and he wears. So, because of Rezina, not the new one. So the Maitre, there's another, the Rezina brought down the an opinion from the Beis HaLevi. It went as follows. He said the Beis HaLevi wrote to him, now we don't have this Tshuva, but this is what the Rezina writes, the Beis HaLevi wrote to him, that you can't just invent a new mitzvah, not the same way that the Rabbi Yosher brings him down. Rabbi Yosher Ber brings an Enochah of the Beis HaLevi, so we'll assume that the Rabbi Yosher Ber had the correct Nesirah. But not that you can't invent something new, but rather if you have something that throughout the Doros was always there, the Rezina's fish was always there, it was never hidden, and throughout the Doros, nobody tried to say this is the Chilazon. The Rashba saw it, and he didn't say this is the Chilazon. The Rambam saw it, he didn't say this is the Chilazon. So you can't, the Pnei Yeshua, the Goyin, all these people saw this fish of the Rezina, and nobody claimed it was the Chilazon. You can't come along and suddenly say, it's the Chilazon. Fish lovers up the Beis HaLevi, according to the Rezina, if you find a new fish, then you could say, hey, the Rashba didn't see it. That's why he didn't claim it was the Chilazon. But I who see it, I can claim it's the Chilazon. So now, the question is, will that apply to the new chelos that they found nowadays? Rabbi Yosher says he's not sure. Maybe even according to the Rezina's version of the Beis HaLevi's argument, it might apply over here. That's what Rabbi Yosher says. And the pro camp says, no, what are you talking about? It was only discovered in 1983 how to turn this snail, we'll see, from a purple dye to a blue dye. So it was only a recent discovery. The anti camp will say, of course it applies. But even if the Beis HaLevi's rule, of course it applies, because what was the secret that turned the snail from purple to blue? It was sunlight. If you dye it in the sun, it turns from purple to blue. So you think over 1,000 years the Rashba didn't, and not everything was done in the house in the Rashba's times. Nowadays we do everything in labs. So that's why it took time from when they started to work with it. For the last 100 years, it was all done in a lab until one time, a guy who was doing it in his house, his wife said, that's it, it stinks, get out of the house. He went out of the house, he did it in the sun, and it turned to blue. So that you could say happens nowadays, but over the last 1,000 years, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ritva, hundreds of going, they all didn't weren't able to figure it out.
Really, it was only in the 1700s where they rediscovered.
Right. So the procapitalists
didn't die with the snail at all.
Right. The procapitalists will respond. Yeah, I know, but it was still in the Mediterranean.
They didn't know that was a thing.
Right. So the procapitalists. No, it was still. And they have records that it was known until the late 14th. It was known that this was produced until the late 14th. So Teretz, there's a lesson in the Ramban that there was a gzera that was against dyeing blue, and it existed until the Ramban's time, which is about 1100, which is in the 1200s. So even until the 1200s, they still did do it because there was a gzera against it.
The 14th to the 17th.
And then you have the 14th to the 17th, which is the Beis Yosef's time, and everything. That was completely lost. So that's what the program will have to say. And after that, people weren't like discovering it. The Rezina was the first one who decided to figure it out. And he found something that was naturally there the whole time. And finally, they found this one in 1983. And they found it earlier, they found it much earlier. But they finally figured out how to do it. And so again, here's a point of contention: whether or not the Beis Halevi's Rezina version will apply here. Definitely, the Beis Halevi, according to Rav Yashar Ber, Rav Stemmer, and Rav Asher Weiss's version, will apply here. That you can't just invent the new mitzvah. And if that's true, incidentally, I wonder if Rav Stemmer uses a Chazanish Esrik. But if that's true, then again, it's nothing to talk about. So we have three reasons why not to even start this year. And if you had breakfast already, you're welcome to walk out. But there's three reasons why not to start this year. Yet, as we mentioned, there's ways to go against the Sifri. And as mentioned, most people do not agree to this Beis Halevi's rule that you have to have a Mesira, either the Rezina's version or the Brisker version that they have nowadays. So we have the next item, which is, let's discuss, imagine you were able to have a Chilos. So what is the chilazon? So this is the chilazon of the Reziner. The Reziner found something called a cuttlefish, and there was several problems with it. Number one, you have the Beis Halevi problem that was very common. Number two, its blood isn't blue. You have to mix in a lot of different things in it to make it blue, which is not the worst problem in the world, because Tosfos says that you do have to mix in other things to make it blue. So problem number two that I wrote isn't so bad. Number three, it's not expensive. There's tons of cuttlefishes. You go into the Mediterranean and you'll see these things. I don't know, I've never actually seen them, but that's what they claim. Number four, it can't go out of water. It's clear that the chilazon should be able to go out of water. This is a fish. And number five, it has no shell. There's quite a lot of occurrence that the chilazon has a shell. And six, the dye is very impermanent. It's not permanent, which is also not the worst problem in the world, because we don't know exactly how to dye as they dyed back then. So the Rezina held this was the correct dye. The reason why it wasn't the problem is Rav Herzog looked into the dye, and he saw that if you mix the ingredients that the Rezina mixed with this fish's blood, anything will come out blue. You can put a backpack in there, it'll come out blue. So, shayach that you found blue blood. You didn't find blue blood. And therefore, everybody today besides Rezina Eglach agree that it is not the correct fish. Rav Herzog himself looked into the fish that we're going to discuss, the snail that we're going to discuss, but there was four problems with it. Number one, the snail that we're going to discuss, as we said, had purple blood, not blue blood. It wasn't until 1983 that they discovered how to change it to blue blood. Number two, the problem, we'll discuss other problems that Rav Herzog had throughout. So Rav Herzog came up with a snail as well. He thought it was a snail. He came up with it called the Gentina. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm assuming I'm pronouncing it correctly. But the problem with this is that he wasn't able to make it die. It had blue blood, as we can see here. You can see that it gives off a blue blood, but it's not able to dye anything. If you put it into clothes, it washes out with water. And it wasn't used as a dye. As hard as he tried, he wasn't able to get it to a dye, and nobody since then has been able to get it to a dye. Again, that's not a reputation, because, like the Sifri, it's very possible this is the chilazon, and Mashiach will tell us how to turn it into a dye. But I'll go upon it, for now, this is definitely not the chilazon. Rav Herzog said that he thinks this is it, but he can't figure it out. That's how Rav Herzog ended off. In 1983, they had something called, sorry, this is not the greatest picture, it's much better on my screen, but we'll get a bunch more pictures. This is called the Murex tranquillus, which was discovered in the Mediterranean. It was known it was there, and this was the source of the main dye for thousands of years back in the olden days. The times of the Gemara, even prior to the Gemara, for thousands of years, they used this snail, used to cut it open, take the snail out, take out a little of the liquid, not the blood, which is going to end up being a problem. They took a little of the secretion from the snail, and they were to use it as the fastest dye, a dye that would stick, and dye that would dye any clothes perfect. Now, since this was such a famous dye, there are many achronim that learn that chelas is indeed purple. The Chavis Yar wants to say that this is for sure the chilazon. And to the point that he says, and since it gives off a purple dye, it must be that Tzelos is purple, not blue like we're brought up. So we see how some Achrayim hold that this is the Tzelos so much that they're willing to take away what every school kid knows, that Tzelos is blue, and change it to purple, to just to uphold the shita that this is the Tzelos. Yet, Lamaisa, almost all Achrayim disagree, and they say Tzelos is blue. As for the fact that you found the snail that gives off a fast dye, that's obviously not the Tzelos because it's purple. And nobody went with this Tzelos until 1983, when a person trying to discover exactly how to work with this dye, even to do purple, he came out with that his wife, it stank. His wife says, please go outside. He went outside, and the sun changed it to blue. So, I'm not a chemist, but that's what happens. If you dye this with this dye outside in the sunlight, or use a ultraviolet light or whatever, as a part of you dye outside, it will turn to blue. So here we have a snail that is in the Mediterranean, which is where Chazal lives, which is going to fit a whole bunch of simanim, and it gives off a blue dye in the correct conditions. L'cha'ira, we have a chilozin in front of us. So before we even get to proving that the chilozin, we have to prove that the chilozin is a snail. Now this is another issue. First of all, it says in the Gemara, that, or in the Medrash at least, it says that a snail is, the chilazon has a shell that grows with it. Just like the clothes in the Midbar for the Yidden, it kept for 40 years, they didn't have to change it, so too the chilazon never has to change his shell. It sounds like the chilazon has a shell. It's pretty befarish. Rambam says, in explaining a Mishnah, explaining something, he said, Rambam says that, he's explaining a ring, he's explaining like a type of ring with regards to if it's Mekabel Tumah or not. Rambam says, it looks like the shell of a chilazon. Sounds like it has a shell. Rashi, the Rosh, the Ravya, all say beferish that the chilazon is a tolas, a worm. Now if you crack open a snail, what do you get? You get a slug. It looks like a worm, close enough. We'll give it to them. Ravid says, it has limited mobility. That's great. Snail fits the bill right there. So there are several other proofs that these Mishnayim clearly hold that the chilazon is a snail. So you can tack on a raya to the fact that it's a snail. Not for sure this snail, and I brought a picture of you of a very small baby one. This is a baby merged chunkless, and it's going to grow to much larger than that, and it's the same shell. So we see the shell grows with it, and it seems to be a clear indicator that at least it is a shell, at least the chilazon is a snail, not a fish like we're all brought up with, but rather a snail, and great, it fits the bill. We don't know for sure if it's this snail, but we know it's a snail. The anti-camp will say as follows. For 1 second. Rambam says the fairish is a fish. She loves him who dug. What are you going to do with that? The pro-camp is going to say, anything that lives in the water is a fish. Okay, maybe, maybe not. Question number two. A snail, the halacha is that you're chayav for trapping on Shabbos if you pick up a chilazon. There's no such thing as trapping a snail. You trap a deer. You trap a rabbit. You can't trap a snail. The snail's there. Come back an hour later, he's still there. So they say, no. You're right. A snail on land you can't trap. But a snail at the bottom of the ocean, that you can trap. Trapping means to get something from out of its environment. Something that's hard, in its environment, it's hard to get. You get it. So if it's on the table, you're right. You can't get a snail. It's supposed to think it's trapping a snail. But you can trap it at the bottom of the ocean. Okay, we'll give it to them also. I agree to that. Tosafot says that you want to kill the chilazon because when extracting the dye, it flips back and forth like a fish. Well, that's for sure not happened by a snail. So Tosafot clearly does not agree to this theory. But other Rishonim say that it has limbs. Instead of taking the blood out of there, you take the blood out of there. Not happening over here. A slug is just a slug. There's no limbs to a slug. Unless it means like those little eyes, but probably not. And
fish has limbs?
Oh, that's a good question. It's a good question. Maybe it means like an octopus, maybe. That's a good point.
That's in Yishali.
I'm sorry?
It's in Yishali. You getting mitzvahs?
I'm not going to go there because they answered up correctly. I'm not going to go there.
Regarding trapping,
yeah.
Is it possible it's like when you take a worm and you put it on a hook to go fishing, the worm's going to move around. And if this...
Okay, but it's not like something you can control. Tyson says that you appreciate when it's dead because it's harder to extract it when it's alive because it's flapping. I mean, even if a worm is flapping, you're right, it's moving back and forth slightly, maybe. Okay, maybe. But this is a question from the anti-camp. And Rebbeinu B'chaya says that it has to be kosher. So again, so Tosfos under Tosfos on the anti-theme and Rabbi Bechaya. But then again, what does the pro respond? The pro says, look, we brought you a whole bunch of riots that it is a snail. So you have a machlekes rishonim, so what do you want to do now? And that's a valid taina, because we're going to do the best we could to get the mitzvah back. You're right, Rabbi Bechaya and all this, and Tosfos maybe hold not like that. Rambam, they say, is on their team. The question about can trapping, they answered correctly. So the Meiri says that it has limbs. So if it's an octopus, maybe. Otherwise, a fish, you ask correctly. Also, fish don't have limbs either. I hear. So you're right. We have a machlekes rishonim here. What can we do? Most of the rishonim, though, clearly seem to indicate that it's a snail, and we're going to continue. Okay. The first proof that to the theory, which gets us up to, I would say, 70% that it's correct. Number one, we're going to do A, B, C. A. We have the concept of tcheles. The concept of tcheles is brought down in many psukim. Mordechai wore tcheles, and the Ramban says that everybody wore tcheles, all the kings used to wear tcheles. There's probably 30 or 40 psukim that indicate the word tcheles. I'm not going to break them all down, but they are 30 or 40 psukim that say the word tcheles. Number two, the Torah doesn't say that. The kings wore a non-kosher type of tcheles, but you on your tzitzit have to wear a different type of tcheles. Tcheles probably is tcheles. Now, the word probably is why it's only going to get a 70%. And number three, A, B, C, if we can find the source of the olden day tcheles, then probably we found the source for Torah tcheles as well. Okay? That's simple mathematics. We know that there used to be tcheles. We know that this animal produces tcheles. And we don't have any, the Torah never indicates that there's a difference in the type of tcheles. So there's a couple maybes here, probablys. So that's why I'm only giving it 70%.
So the stuff in the Mishkan was
the Rabbeinu Bechaya asked the Kasha, and Rabbeinu Bechaya says, therefore, it's not the snare. Rabbeinu Bechaya, yeah, that's, he's on the antithin. Rabbeinu Bechaya would be on the antithin. Yeah, it has to be from a kosher animal. The protein.
Kalash Shani is kosher.
What?
Kalash Shani would be kosher.
He asked the Kasha, Rabbeinu Bechaya asked the Kasha. And he says that it's taken from the shell of the Kalash Shani, or from the whatever it is, and not from the actual animal. Very good. But Rabbeinu Bechaya is the only one who holds like that. So I'm not bothered to say that. You're right. When Rabbeinu Bechaya comes, we'll have a ship. We'll have to discuss all these things with them. But so A and B equals C. So we know 100% that they used to have tcheles, and we know probably there was no difference in the two colors. And we know from back in the day, I didn't bring them down, but I have them over here. Notes that say many different types of quotes. Sorry, the test for later today. They quote many different old sources, including Pliny and Aristotle and other people I can't pronounce, that say that Emperor Valentinian, okay, Theodosius and Arcadius, to Fastus, Count of the Imperial Exchanger, spelled it wrong, says it's probably no private person should have the power to die or sell. They're translating it from ancient Roman or Greek or whatever. No private person should have the power to die or sell purpura goods. Purpura, we're going to see, is the word that refers to the snail. Silk or wool, oxibata, and Tysinsinia. Okay? So this is translated. They translate Hypsothinia based on the flower that is called the Hypsothinia, even a modern-day flower, which is blue. So there's a whole lot of probablys here and maybes. Hypsothinia probably means blue because it's a flower, and Pliny translated as blue somewhere else. There's quite a lot of quotes. That's one quote. There is another quote from, let me just find Pliny's thing. Sorry. Pliny said as follows. Here we are. Actually, we're not. Here we are. Pliny's word. Pliny refers to this. He calls it conchilia or conchilia. Probably the second one. Conchilia. He says that Pliny is talking about how they used to get dyes. He's just talking about the natural world. He's explaining. He's writing as a history book, and he's saying that the way they used to get the color conchilia was from these snails, And people used to get it. He says other people used to get it from plants. But those plants would wash out too easily. So therefore, the aristocrats used to get it from these snails. Now, conchilia, they prove at length, is the color in ancient words called glaco, which they say means light blue. Okay? They have other riots that glaco means light blue because conchilia is also compared to the heliotropius flower, which in Pliny's own words is carilium, which is Latin for blue. So there's a whole bunch of, most probably they're right. Now, I would say even without riots from Aristotle, Pliny, and everything, we know nowadays that it can produce blue. And we know for certain that this was the shell that they used back in the day for purple. That's clear. Everybody, there's mentioned at length amongst all the sources that this was used in the ancient days for purple.
Why? Just because things are to get blue from here, why that Hashem is saying get it from here?
Right. So, yeah, but we're just trying to prove that this is the correct thing. So, one second. So, we know for sure that this produces blue if you dye it in the sun. And we know that for 2,000 or 3,000 years back in the olden days, they used to use this. So, forget riots. So even if all the riots are correct, I believe that riots are correct, that all these words do mean blue. So, we know for sure that they used this scale back then, and they used it for purple, but they definitely knew that blue came from it also. So they had a blue dye back then. So we know for sure that they had this, and they knew that it produced blue, because we're not going to say that something that was discovered in 10 years nowadays was not known back then when they didn't even have labs. So they for sure knew that it could produce blue. And it's clear from all their sources, from Pliny and Aristotle, that it could produce blue. So we know that they produced blue from this thing. One second, how do you know that they produced blue from it? That's what we'll have to prove from Pliny. And there was no silica in the Torah. The Torah doesn't say that you cannot use this one. It doesn't say that. So that is their proof, and it sounds to be pretty good. 70% we're going to give them because there's a whole bunch of major problems, but we're going to go up in a second. In addition to the proof.
Not someone Arabin.
What?
The Gora Arabin doesn't say
that. I'm going to get that. I'm going to up it to 90 because of that. So, addition to the proof.
The Torah
says that you have to use the chilazim. There are, by the way, on the pro camp, who say that any type of snail will do, but I totally don't hear that. I'm not even going to go there. So you have to use a specific chilazim.
They're not saying what a chilazim is. Baloney and
we'll see that they were talking about the snail. We'll prove that they were talking about the snail. That's true, but they did prove that it produces blue.
Okay.
And we're going to see... So first Misara. It produces blue, and it produces blue for the kings. Pliny says that it produces blue for the kings. And it does say there was a difference between the king's blue and our blue. So you're saying maybe there was. That's why I only gave it 70%. Maybe there was a difference. Who said that there was no difference? Maybe the king used these blue and we use a different blue. I agree to that. I agree that's why I only gave them 70%. But nevertheless, it's still, we saw you have to agree, and you must agree, that we know it produces blue, we know they produced blue from it for their kings. Probably it was the same blue. You don't give them 70%?
Why was the thought this possible then?
We'll get to that. All this is going to happen. Another thing, we never found any historical document, Pliny, Aristotle, any archaeological thing that they did another type of fish. Never found it. We're going to up it to 80% because of this. In all of the documents, in anywhere else, we never found anybody who says that there was another type of fish that could produce blue. Not only did we find it nowadays, but we never found any historical document to say that they did it. So we have no sources to say that there was another type of fish. Again, no sources is not, I'm not upping to 100% because of this, because didn't find is not a riot. Every day they're finding new things.
And it says the microcephalus is him.
Okay, but we got around that. You're right. If that's true, then we're not starting. You're right. You can split this 80% into half because of that if you want. No, I agree. If you go with the Taikanevsky, then it's not again. I agree 100%. But we're going with their assumption that you could learn the Sifri differently. Of course, if it's hidden and it's not the right one, it's not the right one. We're going with the assumption that it could be there, and now we're going to have to discuss, is this the one? So, because not found is not a pure riot. Every day, science is finding new things. Since I was born, I'm not old. Since I was born, eggs were good. Too many eggs were bad. Then we're good again. No problem, bad. I think I'm up to the fifth time that science is changing if eggs are good or bad. So science, I'm not making fun of scientists. They always do the best they could, and the newest studies and everything. But not found is not a riot. So it's a good riot. We'll up at 10% because of that. They never found another type of historical document that says that they could die with it, nor nowadays does science have another fish that could produce blue blood. Okay, that seems pretty decent, 10%. Another addition to the proof, and this is going to up it to 90%, and that is, that means 90% I believe that this is the correct fish, as of this point. And that is because there's two gemaras. There's a gemara in Erevin that says that if you find blue dyed wool on the floor, assuming that it looks like tzitzis, you can say it's tzitzis. The Gemara says that it's clear that there's a similar Gemara with Rav Achoy. Rav Achoy, this is the same Gemara that they brought Rav Achoy, blue dyed wool, and he wants to know if it's the real stuff or not. He said, do a test. If it washes out, then it's kala ilum. It's dye from plants. Like we said, Pliny said that there are people who can take dye out of plants. If it was, and if it doesn't wash out, then it's the right thing. One second. If it's the right thing, if there was another blue dye on the market, both the Gemara and Erev and Erev says before that there was only one blue dye on the market. So that seems pretty clear. We know that they had this blue dye back then, that's for sure. And if they had this blue dye back then, how can the Gemara say it's either A or B? What happened to C? Ah, there must not be a C. This must be the right C lesson. And that takes it up to 90%. The reason I'm not giving it to 100% is because, again, we're still based on translation of old Greek documents that this means blue. Maybe we can get around that. We're still based on a couple of probabilities. We're still based on archaeological evidence. We're still based on, but it seems pretty stark, 90%. And if the shir would stop here, I would suggest everybody goes to get the Silozin. Assuming we don't go with Rav Chaim Kanevsky and the Beis Halevi. Again, assuming that we don't go with that, assuming that we can get around those problems, it's 90% correct. Well, we're going to see. It's going to go down. But oh, I seem to skip that slide. I don't know if I can go back. Can I go back? Yeah, there you go. Okay, fine. You see over here, there's an eggshell. And another proof to this is that the way the Gemara says that the way you have to test the dye is as follows. Take a little bit of dye out of the big vat, put it in an eggshell, take a tiny bit of wool, and test the wool in the eggshell, and then see if you like the color. Now, one second. Why would you do that? Why don't you just look in the vat and see what the color is? Gemara doesn't say. It's unusual Gemara. And the Gemara says that once you test it, you can't use that wool because it has to be tested. Lishma, the Gemara goes off into a whole tangent about this. But that's what the Gemara says to do. After you finish the vat, take a little bit of egg, take a little bit out in an eggshell, and test it in the vat. And test a little bit of wool, and then throw out that wool. Why? Just look in the vat and see if it's blue enough for you. Okay, the Gemara doesn't ask the question. That's what the Gemara says. Nowadays, the way they dye it is, again, I'm not a chemist, but what they do is they take the secretion of the snail out, and this secretion is not water soluble. If you would put it into water and want to make it into a big dye, it will not dissolve. It would just land at the bottom in a blue chunk. What you have to do, I'm assuming, what you have to do is you have to put other ingredients into the vat, make it water soluble, have the whole, and the whole thing will not turn blue. The whole thing will turn a certain color. Only after you dip the wool in and then you take it out and expose the wool dyed with this mixture into oxygen, after that's when the wool will suddenly change the color. Either purple if this dye was not exposed to light, or blue if it was exposed to light. So now it's very understandable why the Gemara says you have to check it out with an eggshell first. You can't just look in the vat and see whether or not it's dyed the correct color. You have to first expose it to oxygen. Now you don't want to waste a whole fine pair of scissors. Dip it in and take it out, you're going to waste it if it's not the correct color. So take a little bit out of an eggshell, test it, and see if it's the correct color. So this is a perfect, another good raya that we are talking about the correct method of dyeing with the correct dye. If it was just blue blood, then why do you need this whole testing method in the Gemara? So I brought a picture here of them doing it with the eggshell. This is how they did it now. I don't know if you have to use an eggshell, obviously. This is the Gemara's small cup. You know, but that's how they did it. Fine. The response, and I'm not going to take it down just yet because I'm going to explain it later on, is that there was a Gemara in Menachas, and this is going to be a major point of contention. There's a Gemara in Menachas that lists three simanim for the chilazon. Number one, its body looks like the sea, which probably means blue, seeing as the Gemara two lines before it said that its body, that the chelis looks like the sea, which means blue. So this shell does not look blue. It's browns. So number one, you're out. Number two, it says that if bottle's blue, it looks like a fish. Doesn't look like a fish. Nobody ever tried to play off, like, yes, I caught a salmon and held up a snail on a fishing trip. It doesn't happen. It looks like a snail. It doesn't look like a fish. And number three, it comes up every 70 years. The anti-camp claims that this Yurt's chocolate does not match even one of those simanim. And if you don't match those simanim, you don't start. So as for the question, why did the Gemara mention that there were two sikhilazas? Of course it does. That's what the Gemara Menachas is doing. The Gemara Menachas is saying, you're right, there are two animals that produce a blue dye. One of them is the chilazah, and one of them is the one that the kings use. The pro-camp's plan was, we never found the Gemara say that there was two. I have a Gemara right here. The Gemara says the chilazah comes up every 70 years. This animal doesn't. The Gemara says that the chilazon looks like a fish. This animal doesn't. The Gemara says the chilazon is blue. This animal is not. For all you know, you'll find a blue snail somewhere, and that's what will fit the bill. And I googled blue snail, and this is what came up.
Do we consider a
be, but it would be fine because a snail is just as common.
No, what I'm saying is, if a crayfish is considered a fish,
right?
When you speak of fish,
it will be, it will faster fit the bill. Yeah, fish will, crayfish will faster fit the bill than for a fish than a snail would. But the procamp posits that anything that lives in the water is a fish. They actually have a great.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but it's fine. I'm willing to let that go without points lost on either team. So that is the pro, that is the anti-camp's response. You don't fit the bill. Oh man, late. Okay, the procamp will say, I'm going to start moving a bit faster. The procamp says, what do you mean? Of course it fits the bill. And we'll discuss how it fits the bill in a second. Okay, number two, another proof. And that is that molecular, chemically, if you take this dye and you look at the dye, it is the exact same as indigo, which is the plant-derived dye that Pliny spoke about. It's the exact same thing. Now, the Gemara says you weren't able to tell the difference between the two. So is that not an indicator that we're talking about the exact same dye? Sounds like a very good riot to me. I'm not going to up it past 90% because of this, but if it was lower than 90, I would up it because of this. Seems like a pretty good riot. The Gemara says that they're exact same. And if you look under a microscope molecularly, they're the exact same. You cannot tell the difference between the two as of yet. Riot number three, the dye mentioned is the dye mentioned, we already mentioned this one when I showed you the eggshell. Number four, the historical facts match up exactly. Julius Caesar made a decree against the common man using the purple dye. And it kept on getting stronger and stronger. Nero made it. This next guy, whoever his name is, made it also. And so did the next one and the next one. They all, similar to Hydrogen, punishable by death. And this is exactly when we spoke out that the chilazon was restricted. It's clear from the Gemara that the chilazon was restricted. They were scared of the Romans in Rava's times. Rava had to smuggle it in to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Achoy was surprised that sailors came in front of him because it was restricted, it was contraband. And therefore, the Ramban said, even nowadays, nobody would wear the sailors because it's still against the halacha, it's still against the secular law. So we see that if it was the correct thing, we know Morik's Chocolates was outlawed. Another perfect proof. I might even pass it over 90%. Why else would it be? No, I want to ask the question. The way they bring the riot, the pro-camp brings the riot, is that why else would it have been destroyed? Well, it was destroyed because Arizal said that Hashem doesn't want us to match anymore. But
Rava's restrictions, was he under the Roman domination?
Rava's restriction, it was clear from the Gemara that it was restricted in Rava's times. It didn't say that it wasn't restricted before. You're right, Julius Caesar already lived before the Churban Abayas.
No, I mean, was Rava under Roman domination? Or
I believe so. I believe that they still existed until the five. I'm not certain, but that's what I thought. Rubber was a bubble, so they smuggled it out of Eretz Yisrael to Rubber. That was the whole smuggling.
It was made in
Eretz Yisrael and it was shipped. So he had a whole smuggling. But it was restricted. That's clear. They had to smuggle it. And Rabbi Chaya also was clear that it was unusual in his time. So it matches up perfectly. If it was the Mirror Chocolate, then we have an understanding in those Gemaras. Okay? Number five. Archaeological proof. Now this doesn't get us past 90% because we know that it was used. Archaeological proof that in the exact same areas that it says in the Gemara that the chilazon was dyed. This is actually a picture of the area that it says in the Gemara in between two cities, and this is where they do it nowadays as well. The Gemara speaks out the two cities, and still we know where they are nowadays. And the Gemara says in between those two cities is where it was mined or whatever you call it was fished out of, whatever it was snailed. I'm not trying to say it. And it was brought up into this area, and they found hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these old snails. Broken from times of antiquity, broken in the exact place that they would have to have dye taken out. Now, it's not a proof that there was chilazon, because as we said, it was known from the secular sources that this was used big time in the olden days. The problem, all we need to do is that the additional thing that we're adding over here is that the Gemara mentions that this was the area that they did chilazon from. So, this is also the area that they did purple from? Now, the fact that they found thousands of these cells is not a riot, because again, we know that they did it back then. So it was done for purple. That's what the anti-camp will say. But the addition that we're adding over here is that it was done in the same areas that the Torah said, that the Chazal said, that Chilazon was mined from.
This is
where? This is a coast off the coast between Tsur and Haifa, and the Lebanon city of Tyre.
North
Haifa, yeah. So it was done over there. In Italy, in Elisha, it says also that it was done in Italy, and they found remnants over there also. So that's why I wrote Yeshetzalam. That's why I wrote Italy on the thing. Again, this might even take us past 90%. It's very, 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 very stacked around. So what will they respond? That it was in the days of antiquity, Tyrian purple was the most famous dye, and that's what they did there. But I said, well, the way I was explained it was that the raya was that this is
another snail makes purple.
No, that's not the snail. There's two other ones. Right. And they sound differently, but that's not a raya at all.
They could have used for different purposes.
That's what they want to say, but I don't believe. I don't hear that raya. It was known that this shell produced purple back then also. So the fact that they wanted to keep maybe two shades of purple differently, I don't hear the right. Maybe they dyed correctly together.
That's very awesome that some people say it would have been more likely that they would not have used the trunkless for blue because it was so easy to make to go from. They wouldn't have used it for purple because it was so easy to make it from purple to blue.
So
if you just see right. Source sunlight, else,
right.
You
all you have to do is put it in the light and then it would
glow. And also if you boil the wool also certainly.
Right. Extra boiling would bring it to. Yeah. So again, these are just hypothetical things. I'm not going to go past 90% because of that. Okay. Number six. Okay, this one, Lania Saiti, there's a lot, definitely not going to go past 90%. I apologize that I'm going so late. It's supposed to stop at 9:30. Anybody wants to leave, they're allowed to leave. I will not take it as a lack of Midwestern manners. There's a linguistic proof. The fact is that this Murex trunculus, another picture of the Murex trunculus with the shell started, the slug starting to come out over here. You can see it. Again, it's a brown shell, you'll notice. So this Murex trunculus is called Porphyra. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing these things correctly, but it's called Porphyra in the olden days. Many, many times in Chazal, it says the word Porphyra, and a lot of times Chazal use Greek words, it's not fair. Porphyra, in referencing clothes that are made by for aristocrats or kings. He wore his Porphyra. Hashem wore a Porphyra. So all these things indicate that they wore a Porphyra, and it came from this snail. And many times it says it in conjunction with Tchelis. For example, Mordechai, it says, let me just get the quote here. It says, in the Medrash, the Mordechai Yotz Melechnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus Tchelis B'chor. He wore Tchelis. Rabbi Pincha says that just like a king wears porphyrin, so too Mordechai wore porphyrin. So that sounds like it came from the snail, which was known in the old days as the Porphyra snail. That sounds like a pretty good riot. And it says Tchelis. Now, they have several Midrashim like this, the pro camp, as well as they have a Rav Yoh. Rav Yoh in Yerushalmi says as follows. When is the earliest time you're able to say Shema in the morning? When you're able to tell the difference between blue and green. Or Porphyra and Porphyrin. So they take it to say that the difference between blue and green is explained by saying Porphyra and Porphyrin. Okay. Maybe.
What is purple? What is blue?
Well, that's what they claim. Maybe, but I disagree. I'm not knocking it down because of 90%. I'm just saying this linguistic proof, from the Rav Yoh especially, is out. It's for sure an incorrect way to learn the Rav Yoh. And I'll explain it really quickly. I mean, there are many, many, again, there's many, many articles written on this and discussing exactly how to learn this. After sitting on it for a while, I think they're wrong in explaining the Rav Yoh this way. First of all, the exact words of the Rav Yoh are, "Vu bein porphyrin, bein parfirin." And this is the coat that is called Porphyra. It doesn't say anything that Tchelis. I will be able to discuss it afterwards if you want. They definitely misinterpreted this Rishami. I'm not saying it takes away from 90%. I'm just saying this Raya is definitely out. Bein Tchelis Lekarti. Additionally, Porphyra is definitely purple. It says Karti, which is green. If they mean to say that blue is blue and purple, so then they missed the boat. Porphyrin is purple, and Porphyra is blue, according to them. Fine, that's great. But, so what the Ushami means, everybody else explains, and this seems to me is clear, is that it's two different types of coats. It's the Porphyra coat and the Porphyrin coat, and the Ushami is giving two different explanations of two different Mishalim. When is it early enough to say the Shema? When either you can tell the difference between blue and green, or two different coats, Porphyra and Porphyrin. They still have a Raya, and that is that it could be that any type of coat that is dyed with this type of snail is called a Porphyra, regardless of the color. It could be purple, it could be blue, it could be green, it could be red, any type of color, depending on what additives you put to this thing. It was a good color no matter what. So no matter what the dye is, a coat that is dyed with this snail is called a Porphyra. That could be. And therefore, if, according to that, if it says the word Tchelis in the Pasuk, then that would be a great riot. But the anti-camp says, no, all it means is that it's a kingly coat, and sometimes it could be dyed with this, sometimes it could be dyed with that. Porphyra is a kingly coat. Either it's true or it's not true. I'm going to leave this riot. I'm for sure not adding any points, and the way they learned the Rav Yoh is wrong. Okay, but again, it doesn't take away from the 90%. The similarity to indigo we discussed.
I don't know why that came up twice. Did we? Yeah, I think so.
And number eight. The fact is, I'm sorry.
We didn't talk about it.
We didn't talk about the similarity to indigo.
Yeah. Well,
it's the same.
What? Well,
it's the same thing, right? Number eight. The dye deteriorates close to death. If you squish the snail, you must get the dye out as soon as it dies, within an hour or two. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that if you don't squish it right away, then it's going to die right. If you don't squish it right away, it dies upon being squished. And if you don't get the dye right away, the dye is ruined. So the Gemara said that, and that's the Matthias. That if you don't get the dye out within an hour of death, then the dye is ruined. So the anti-camp says, one second, this is a question on you. It doesn't say the Gemara within an hour of death, it says right away. Now, I don't understand that proof, because if you look at the Gemara says clearly, there was a Mandam who said that you first killed it, and then you squished it out. So clearly, when the Gemara says that it dies upon death, it doesn't mean immediately upon death, because right the next line says that it was first killed and then it, so it means close to death. You can't leave it there for a week. It has to be killing it and then squishing it out. Maybe it's even better that if you squish it out right away. So this is a further proof to the anti-camp, to the program.
When you squish it, dies.
The Gemara says that if you squish it and you don't take out that secretion right away, it's ruined.
It come out when you're squishing it?
Yeah, you have to squish it in the right places. You have to squish. You have to make sure you squish it correctly. Make sure you squish it correctly. So this seems to be another indicator that we are talking about the correct snail. Number nine. It says, this is a machlokes, it says in the Gemara, it says Rabbeinu Tam says that the secretion that you're taking out of the snail is hidden in a separate pouch. It's not the regular bloodstream. That's great, because that works exactly with our snail. It's not blood, it's a regular pouch. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Okay, one second. Not all Rishonim agree to him. So the Rishonim who argue on it, which is the other Baalei Tosfos, say that it is the regular blood. So we have a place to show if this is the correct snail, but it's not a question because, like we said, Tosis already holds that it was a fish. Tosis already told us that he doesn't agree to this. So putting Tosis aside, we're going with the Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rabbeinu Tam says that it was in a special part of the body and it was a secretion. It wasn't part of the regular bloodstream. So you're right, it's a question from Tosis, but we already dealt with that. We said we know we're not going to go with all the Rishonim, and for the Rishonim that we are going with, this again is another proof. We really should go past 90% here, but number 10, and this is just cute. They were both very expensive. It's clear from Pliny and Aristotle that this stuff is very expensive, and now and the chilas is also very expensive. So again, the secular sources and the Torah sources of the chilas seemingly match up that they're both expensive. So we have 10 proofs that definitely get us to 90%. I would not be surprised if somebody would say that gets them to 100%. I'm fine with saying that as of now it's 100%. I'm sorry. This is the snail with some algae on it, and that's going to be very important to answer one of the questions. I should really, you should focus on it. It goes into the, There is going to be a similar, there's going to be something like that, but, Okay, now we have the probability factor. The probability factor is everything we spoke out until now, which is what are the chances of having all 10 proofs that we just spoke out matched up somewhere else? There was another Roman decree. Now, by the way, that's not such a shy one, because it could be that the Romans answered purple and blue. They answered all types of blue. But there was another decree. There was another fish that has died, another snail. All the 10 proofs that we mentioned are exactly somewhere else. So even we don't have the proofs from the Gemara that say that there was not another, that there was only two snails. There's a probability factor. What are the chances? And so what are the chances we say, well, if there's another one, there's another one. If not, not. So we're going to stay at 90% to prove that it is indeed the correct one. Question number one. They would wear blue, like a blue tie. Any blue dyed blue product. Yeah, they were fitted. It's clear from the Rishonim that Rashi mentioned several times that the standard clothes back then were white and not dyed, because they didn't have any synthetic dyes. The most they had was this dye, the indigo that came from a plant, which was washed out after the first washing, and this dye. So most clothes were
only colorless. Jews could not wear anything.
It was nothing with Jews. Any other citizens weren't allowed to wear colored clothing. Colored clothing were reserved for.
They had red.
It was very weird.
Yeah, okay.
This is more about black clothes, white clothes.
Black may have been mutter. Where did they get black from? I'm not sure. It was clear there was only against the snails, purple and blue. Yeah, you're right. The rise of the standard clothes were white. That's right.
What about women? Big Day
Tzivonim.
They have red. Big Day Tzivonim, for your wife for buying a thing. Yeah, it's a good question. He's saying that's red, but then the Gemara doesn't show we're red.
Well, they have red, they have purple, they have blue. So I mean, those are natural.
But there was a decree against it. He's asking for Big Day Tzivonim, which you have to buy your wife. You're saying red, but you should buy your wife. So that's a good sign. Okay, I hear it. Good point. Okay, questions. Number one, throughout all literature, it says down the kilos in the blood. It doesn't say secretion. This is a secretion. Okay? So we'll say that blood could mean all types of secretion.
Well, the Rebbe Tam is pretty clear that he calls it dam also.
Yeah, but Rebbe Tam just says dam mitka pocket. It's just not part of the regular cycle. It doesn't say that it's a secretion. Rebbe Tam just says the dam is mitka pocket. So, just like we say dam basulim is mitka pocket. It just means that it's in a separate pouch. Not necessarily does mean it's not blood. I'm not too bothered by this. The most we'll take away from it is 5 minutes.
And Nid also calls
Dam Mifka Pakim.
No, not that, but.
Dam Yorick is very possible that it is blood. They have a much better raya from the. They have a raya that something is from one of the stuff that is pulled out of the tree. One of the stuff that's used for the Sam Manim, the Beis Hamikdash, is dam from a tree. So that's a raya berura. So I'm not bothered by it. If it's not blood and they had no riots against it, then it's game over. But I'm going to take away 5 points. Not such a big deal. Number two. The question that we asked before, and this is the biggest question, which is going to take away a lot of points, and that is that Gemara Menachah says that it's blue. It doesn't say it's blue, it says it looks like the sea. And it's brown, like we saw many pictures, so now it's brown. So they came up with, this is a very strong challenge, and this is the reason why Rav Herzog said this is not the correct philosophy. Because of this question, and the next question, Rav Herzog said it's not the correct
philosophy. We never saw a natural inhabitant.
True, but because this is the question. So, the pro-Campbell response, go Sishra. And you will see that it always looks like the bottom of the lake. Here, we have it taken out of the bottom, so it doesn't look like the desktop that it's been placed on. But there was a blue algae that covered the whole bottom of the lake. So it looks blue. And sometimes it's going to look green, or brown, or brown. This is where it was pulled out of a brown thing. And the next picture, it looks brown. It looks like the sand. Wherever you take it out of, it's going to look like the bottom. So it doesn't mean that it looks like blue, like Tzelis looks blue. It means that it looks like where it came from. And even if you want to say that it means blue, we showed you a picture that it could look blue. If there was blue algae at the bottom, then it could look blue also. I grabbed saw a picture where there was blue, but I wasn't able to get it on my computer, where it was blue in the background. So they answer question one. Now, this is a bit of a stretch. Anthony Campbell say, game stops here. We're not continuing to discuss it. Because it doesn't look blue. They say, yes. And also the anti-camp says, 1 second, we're talking about the slug inside. We're not talking about the shell. The shell has nothing to do with it. Look at the slug. And the slug is always brown.
But it's together.
That's what they'll say. They'll say, it's like, so it has to land in Gemara.
It's not a shell, it's nothing.
They'll say, no, you look at the shell. You look at it in its habitat. You don't look at it when it's taken out and ready for dissection. So both, I hear both. I don't know what to do. I hear suffix. So suffix, we're going to say, goes down to 50%. Question number two, it looks like a fish. No snail looks like a fish.
It's like an eel.
So they respond that, look at the shape. You look at the shape. It does look like a fish. Okay? Let's listen.
The Aruch, here's the Aruch.
What?
The Aruch.
No.
The what?
The Aruch says that when something has a tzura.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't snail go on land?
This type of snail lives in the water. This type of snail
lives in the bottom of the land, but it usually.
Okay, again, there's another example of a fish that looks like a snail. Now it's not, it is far-fetched the first time you hear, but there is a Gemara in Nida that says as follows. The Gemara in Nida says, you have a fetus, a misshapen fetus looks like a fish, and the Aruch explains that to mean that it looks like a football. It looks similar to a fish. Bigger one, the small one on the two sides and large in the center. And just like a fish is small like a football, so too that's what it means this fetus is. Now, the Aruch is not talking about Tzilazim, but the same way the Aruch explains the Gemara over there, in English I think it's called fusiform, so we're going to explain it over here. It doesn't mean anything, it's a stretch. It is a stretch, but plausible. I'm not going to take. What? Oh, he doesn't mention football, no. So, okay, next. If he did mention football, he probably mean soccer anyways. In that part of the okay. The next question, and this is another question. It rises every 30 years. 7 years. Doesn't happen. The Murex never comes out of water. Now, interestingly, the Jantina, this is not a picture of the Jantina, this is actually sardines, but I tried to find the Jantina. But the Jantina does come out of the water not every 7 years, but once in a while there's a mass gathering of these Jantinas and they wash up ashore. It would look like this, which is why from afar I figured that it would look like
they
a Jantina.
They talk about these cicada things, a certain period of time they come up. You can still see individual ones on
the exactly right, no, 100%. Nobody's saying that you can't fish it out of the bottom. Which the anti-camp says, but it's not true. Obviously, you're able to know. It means that once every 7 years, it comes as a mass immigration, like the cicadas. Exactly, every 21 years, whatever it is.
18
years, yeah. Whatever. So, I think they evolved towards every 21, right? So the Jantina does have these major washing ashores in cycles. And so that's another thing that led Rav Herzog to believe. Rav Herzog, again, because of this, Gemara said it's not the Muros. And he said that, listen, it doesn't wash up the shore every 7 years. The pro camp will say that, well, first of all, you never know. It could just mean that it happens once in a while. And second of all, they bring from Arad Vaz, who said that it was a miracle. Back in the day, it happened as a miracle. Back in the Beit HaMikdash time. And nowadays, the miracle is not happening, but you can still get it from the bottom. Listen, they have a Arad Vaz that says it.
The Rambam
doesn't bring down, but I don't want to go there because that would be saying that the Rambam. We're going to assume that it was that the Gemara does mean it. By saying the Rambam doesn't bring it down, you mean to say that the Gemara is just an Agadic Gemara, you don't have to go with it. Which is what the pro camp says before they came up with these answers. And I'm not making fun of it. These answers are not at all far fetched. I think you can give them at least a 50%.
It also happens that a storm will sometimes wash.
That's what they say, but it never happened. We never had these snails that live at the bottom of the ocean that just wash up. The Jantina, yeah. But not this one. So it's a question on them, and the Rad Vaz answers it. The truth is that the game should stop here. Over here, it's possible that the Gemara is just an Agadic Gemara, and it's not meaning to come to Bavorn any other snail. It's possible, but if that was true, then we should knock off the whole Gemara is out, and the question is out. We, assuming the question is that the Gemara is there, and we have to answer this 7 years, and we're going to go with the Rad Vaz and say that it was a miracle. So, end the story. The Gemara stands. So the anti-camp will say no, it doesn't. The pro-camp will say yes, it does, and we're at a stalemate. So we're going to have to go down to 50%. Question number 4. It says in the Rambam that the ink is black when it comes out. No, when it comes out, but it's explained in the Rambam that the ink is black when it comes out. Is it black? They say it's not. Anti-camp says it's not. Pro-camp says go look. This is what it is. When you put them all together before you start diluting it, this is what it looks like, and that's black. It works exactly correct. It does work. Number 6. Okay. This is the biggest problem, besides the Gemara, this is the biggest problem on the theory. And that is that the Gemara says, Rabbi Choy says, bring me your chalas, and I will do a test, and see if I will dip it into this chemical solution, and if it fades, it's indigo, it's plant-derived dye. If it doesn't fade, it's the real stuff. We said at the beginning of this year that it was the exact same, but like, there's no difference. If it fails the test, they both have to fail. If it passes the test, they both have to fail. According to all chemists, it's impossible to tell the difference between the two. So this is the biggest question. Rav Shlomo Miller says that because of this question, he's not bothered by the Sefri, he's not bothered by the Masorah, he's not bothered by the Gemara and Menachas. He agrees to that Terutzim, but he is anti the Merutz because of this. And he says that all the Terutzim for this question are hell. Okay.
But if that other thing came from a source, and wouldn't that just be two contradictory sources?
No, the other thing definitely the anti-camp is claiming that it came from a different fish that was chemically different, and if you would put this snail into the dip, it would fail. This other source would not fail. Now, with this knowledge, we really lost a lot of their rights, because
they're different though.
What?
Chemically,
yeah,
different.
We're gonna hit them. So with this, we lost a lot of their rights, because what was the riot from Menachas and what was the riot from Erevin? The riot from Menachas was that there's nothing else that would fail the test. 1 second. We just told you they're chemically the exact same. Now, it should be noted that nowadays we don't understand how the chemicals that the Gemara says should be a test. We don't understand why it's a test. So, if it's true that indigo, the plant-derived dye, would fail the test, then the anti-camp is saying this should also fail the test. You have a Gemara in Menachas that says it's not going to fail. Yep. As of now, there's the indigo, which is a plant-derived dye, and there's the MT, the Muir Truculus.
Right.
Now, the anti-camp says there's a third animal. So, the anti-camp will prove it, the anti-camp will say, and I'll prove it to you, because the Gemara says what fails this test, if it fails this test, there can't be something that passes the test, that one passes and one doesn't. they're molecularly the exact same thing. That's what the anti-camp posits. And therefore, if that's true, they lost all their riots. Every single riot that was brought from the anti-camp just went down the drain. Because what was the riot? When Gemara Menachos had said that he was able, that there's only two things. Of course there's only two things. There's the molecular equivalent to indigo, which comes from whatever source you want, be it snail, be it plant, it's going to fail the test. And then there's the real chelazon. So you're right, the Gemara doesn't tell you to differentiate between the two. Because the Gemara says you have to test your chelazon. And if it fails the test, it's not the right thing. I don't care where you got it from. So they have a Gemara in Erevin, a Gemara Menachos, the probability factor, the Roman decree. It's all not true. Because they all are the same thing as indigo. It's all molecularly different than the real chelazon. This is what the anti-camp is telling. It's all molecularly different than the real chelazon. And therefore, dip it into water. If it fails, you know that it's indigo. I don't care where it came from. A snail, from a plant, I don't care. Dip the real thing into this solution, whatever the Gemara... The Gemara gives a solution. We know chemists nowadays don't understand why it would help. But dip the real thing into the solution, and it will pass the test. So there goes all the rice. Now, really you should go down to zero because of this. But there's several terutzim. The only terutzim we're going to go with, which is the only one that's plausible to me, is that they're not exactly the same. You think they're exactly the same, they're not exactly the same. There's indigo, and then there's indigo. The indigo that comes from the plants is straight indigo, or without getting too chemically involved here, because I don't assume anybody is a chemist, so it's not going to make a difference if I use the correct terms anyway. But the indigo that comes from a plant is slightly different than the indigo of this snail after it has been dyed. After it's been used for a dye. What?
There are other impurities that might come along with it.
That was the original terrace.
It's bromine.
What? Right. So I have it here. If you want, I can read it over here. But that was the original terrace. But they switched that because they now say that I'm not sarcastically at all. I fully, this is very possible. I'm just bringing that. They now say that the source is that it's not the impurities. Originally, they said that when they cut off part of the snail, so part of the snail went in there, and that's what caused it to pass the test. Whereas the indigo didn't have that. But now they switch that because that's not a good time. I mean, so they would figure out how to do it without the snail meat in there. Like, give me a break. But and what would be if you were to have somebody who Taka was able to get without snail meat there? His chelazon would fail the test. Not. So they change it nowadays. They say that in order to get to this blue dye, you have to lose some of the original chemical that turned it to purple dye. And in losing it, you don't lose it fully. And that difference is what was able to make the difference between the two. In other words, when reducing the plant dye was done in a different way than reducing the snail dye. And the difference in the reduction method, that is what would cause one to fail the test and one to pass the test. Okay? They have the chemicals, they have the chemists behind them nowadays to support them. So they're not out.
They tested a whole piece of indigo,
and they found that it had these small things that it did come from.
Let me ask you a question. Suppose clearly this is the best we have.
Yes, right.
Let's suppose it's wrong.
Right, we're going to get there.
Would we be doing any halachic problem by putting it into the tzitzit?
Excellent question. We'll get there. Excellent. Very good. We're not going to get much below 50%. So they respond that no, there is valid reason to believe and to assume that there's a difference in the chemicals, and that now they still don't understand it, how one would fail and one would pass. They don't understand it, but they say probably. So again, probably is never good. Probably what happened was back then, in the ways that they redacted the indigo, it would have caused it to fail the test, whereas the way they redacted the snail would not have caused the redacted test. Nowadays, that they're both done in a better fashion, then there's kind of no difference between the two. Anti-camp will say, one second, so the Gemara gave a test that's not for sure. In other words, if they figured out a better way back then, if people could have forced it. And pro-camp will say, yes, back then the science didn't figure it out yet, so they didn't figure it out yet. It's just those tests are back then. And the anti-camp will say that Herbert knows better. It's a back and forth. I can hear both.
But even Pliny said there's a difference between indigo
and exactly. So Pliny said Pliny clearly said that the reason why people would risk their lives to go to the bottom of the ocean and get this for blue dye, just use the plant dye, was because the plant dye used to wash out. Again, it sounds like that they were correct, that the plant dye used to wash out, and they didn't know how to do it back then. It does support their theory, but it's based on a probably, and we don't like that. Okay, so we're 50%. It's still 50%. Okay. Another proof from the fact that it's that there's an omission over here. This was the main source this is the main source of income for many, many people. And this is the dye that was used. Purple dye was used back then. Everybody used purple dye. It's famously known as Tyrian blue, purple. So why did the Gemara mention that the stuff that was used for blue was also used for purple? Doesn't that make sense? Okay, I'm not going to lose any points for it, but it is a additional proof. Why doesn't it mention that you have to dye this outside? Now, somebody not learning the Gemara might say, like, oh, it was pashat. It's not so pashat. The Gemara states clearly how to do it. The Rambam says, the Rashi says, nobody says in all of literature that it has to be done outside. It could be that because there's other ways to do it, the ultraviolet, they didn't have ultraviolet light stomach thing. It could be that the light filtered into the, it could be that the sunlight filtered into the thing. Right, but if it was known that this was the thing, that you had to uncover it, don't you think that the Gemara should have mentioned it? I'm going to subtract 5 points for this, because it is an important fact. The protein will say don't subtract anything for this, because everything was done in the sunlight back then. But you're right, everything was done in the sunlight, and therefore they had to set up umbrellas if they wanted it to be purple.
Just because they did this another scale, the chemistry, and they have to be doing it in the sunlight anyway, so the Gemara doesn't mention it because they didn't understand the process.
No, but they knew that if it was in the sun, it was purple, and if it was blue, and if it was out, it was purple. They should have mentioned it.
So that's a bunch of holy snail that made purple.
Before dry machines, who dried stuff inside the house?
No, I hear. So they have to set up special umbrellas or pot covers to turn it purple.
It's more lines like we do.
So they should have spoken that out. Okay, listen, I don't take away 5 points, but that's where we're going to stop. So I'm leaving it at a 45% that it's correct. I'm not coming past that. Okay, I mean, I think that's fair. We're going either yeah or no. Now, you ask, so what's the worst? It's 45% that we're getting a mitzvah d'oraisa, so why not do it? So the pro camp brings several reasons why all of them, Lanius Daiti, are incorrect. Number one, the reason I'm going to do number one is the Ramah says that you have to have tzitzis to be the same color as your beged, which is why Ashkenazim always wear white tzitzis. Well, Sfarim say you always have to do it with the color of the beged, so if you're wearing a colored beged, you should have tzitzis that look like this. And Ashkenazim say you always wear white. 1 second. Let's look at the source where you should always wear white. It comes from Tumas Adeshin, who argues on the Rambam. He says you can do whatever color you want. And then he says, so the minhag is to do white. You have to do white. You don't have to do white. It's the minhag is to do white. You do white. If there's a suffix, at least a 45% suffix that you're getting the tailors, you may as well go and dye blue. It's a minhag. The maximum that there is A. And B, the Chazanish says that this that you have to do white is only on the two tzitzis that are supposed to be white. On the two tzitzis that are supposed to be purple, if you're not doing blue, you can do whatever color you want. Fine. End of story. Doesn't start. So this reason doesn't start.
Have you seen tzitzis like this people wear?
These are supposed to be tzitzis. I picked them because I haven't seen them. No, you should be doing it. Spider, you would say you're not going to unless you have a colored bacon.
They're all listed.
Number two, is there a specific shade of blue? A lot of anti-people say, don't do it because maybe there's a specific shade of blue. Here's different colors that you could have gotten from the MT, depending on how much stuff you put in the water, how much stuff you did. Maybe there's a specific color. They try to bring from a Rambam, there's a specific color. Any Zaydi, no Kasha. You can do whatever color you want. It's more from the Gemara, you can go lighter and darker. So it's not a question. Rabbi Yashin has a Kasha, and he says that it's more from the Gemara, that there are two different ways to dye. It's more from the Rishayim. Rambam says you put ingredients into the dye, and Rashi learns that you don't put ingredients into the dye, you put ingredients into the wool to help it catch the dye. So who's to decide who's right, the Rambam or Rashi? Now, that's not what Yosha's kasha. That's why he says not to wear it. A reason not to wear it, because you don't know who's right. Yeah. Well, I mean, just do one.
What if you look?
Okay, fine. That's a good point. That's a good point. So the answer to that is that if you look in the Gemara, I'm not going to say I'm better than Rabbi Yosef, but if you look in the Gemara says that you add in salmon, you add in some extra material to get the blue. Tosis asks on that Gemara, if it's not the straight blood, then who says then why is it called Tosis? Well, if it's not straight blood, how can you add additives into the mixture? That's what Tosis Kasha is. So Tosis says to answer the Kasha, you know what Rashi says, you put it into the wool, you don't put it into the mixer. It's blue before. 1 second. So that means that Tosis understands the reason why Rashi says you add it into the wool is because it's not going to be pure blue without these additives. Now Rashi has that it was the Rashi. It's clear from Rashi though that if it was clear additives and they're not helping the color at all, then it's not a problem. And the added nowadays do not affect the color at all. They just help chemically and go into the water or go into the wool. So therefore, it's not a question at all. I, Tosis clearly learns rationale like that. And Tosis himself says that it's only blue after you add into the additive. Again, for the third time, we have Tosis who clearly doesn't learn that the MT is a snail. Sorry, that the chilozin is a snail. Tosis clearly learns that the chilozin was a fish. As we say, Tosis says that it flaps. So our second raya was that Tosis says that it was blood from it was a regular bloodstream. So Tosis clearly learns that it's not here. So the fact that Tosis also learns another indication that Tosis learns that it's not the chilozin. Fine. So again, we already put Tosis on the side anyways. So Rashi though and the Rambam can learn like this theory. The last reason and the reasons why not to wear is because of a complicated thing. First of all, this is going to do that's Rabbi. I don't hear the problem because what she's going to do is if you have two Bucky Dinim in town and one of them happens, yes, one of them happens on your left door tomorrow. So the more of a problem is Baal Taisa. You're not allowed to do Baal Taisa. You're not allowed to add on to a mitzvah. For example, let's say a guy says, I want to shake a lulav etzer kadat marabas and a pomegranate. He's over an isser
diwaisa.
So a rabbis, excellent. So Taisa says, because of that, just like you're allowed to put as many arabas as you want, just like you're allowed to put as many hadassim as you want, so too are you allowed to put as many tittas as you want onto the beggar. Not in different places, but in the same hole you can put as many as you want. It takes brings a riot from hadassim. Okay.
There's all minhag. Just end the story. I mean, they materialize into six different groupings.
Yeah, no, but one second. But there's an issur of Baal Taisav over here. If you ask... Oh, no, one second. Because it follows. Rambam says you're only supposed to dye one of the strings. One of the eight strings blue. Rashi says two, Taisav says... Rabbi says two, and Rabbi Taisav says four.
They were accustomed to different than
Hagi. Yeah, that's true. But which is the real mitzvah? So you want to go and wear, let's say, two strings and go with the Rabbi, or wear four strings and go with Taisav? You might be under the issur of Baal Taisav. So that is the reason not to do it. We have a 45% suffix. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So just do it with suffix. Sometimes Shlomo Miller, don't just do it with suffix. You're right, even if I'm wrong, and it's the real chaos. But you can do it with suffix because, according to the Rambam, you're going to be over Baal Taisav. According to the Rabbit, according to Taisav, if you do one, you're going to be over Baal Tigra. Yeah. So, now one second, the protein will respond. This is going to get a bit complicated. I'm way over time. I feel bad. I can't remember it. But the protein will respond. If you look in the Gemara, it's clear that you won't be over Baal Taisav. You're right. If you wear two strings blue and two strings white, you're not going to get the mitzvah of tzitzis of white, according to Rambam. You'll only get chelas. And vice versa. You're only going to get, if you wear three white and one, you're only going to get white, not blue. It's clear you have to have, for the minimal two and the minimal four and the minimal three, according to it's clear you have to have the minimal in order to get the mitzvah. But it's not worse than not doing anything, and they bring riot brewers from the Gemara. So they say it's no Baal Taisav. You might be getting just one of the mitzvahs, not the other, but at least try. You have three shitas here: Rambam Rashi, Rambam Raivin, and Taisav Rashi. So just try. You may get the mitzvah d'oraisa. Worst comes to worst, you won't get the mitzvah d'oraisa because you went the wrong way. You did two strings instead of one string like the Rambam, and the Rambam was right. Fine. So you'll be getting one mitzvah. The same thing you're getting one. The same way you're getting zero if you're waiting now. So the Maisa, I would come out of this year saying it's possible you should wear. It's possible to wear. I don't think it's more than a 45% chance that it's wearing. This is all assuming that you're allowed to start clearing. Rav Chaim Kanevsky says don't even start clearing. Chabad says don't even start clearing. So assuming that we start clearing, and Rav Yashar Ben says don't start clearing. So for a different reason, because of the Messiah. So assuming we get off the ground, it's only a 45%. Not bad for Mitzvah D'oraisa, maybe. And the reasons not to wear, don't start. So should you wear? This is the last issue, and that is that the Chachamim say something, don't do it, then you don't do it. So we may come here and say, like, hey, it makes sense to us, but if the Chachamim say, don't do it, so I cannot advise anybody to do it. Right? Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Rav Yashin, Rav Moshe Stenbach, Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Shlomo Miller, they all say not to do it. There are a lot of people who say that maybe. Rav Belsky says maybe.
Yeah.
He says maybe.
He wears it.
He wears it, but he's saying don't brush away the people who say it. And Yubera supposedly wears it, Chaim Kanievsky supposedly wore it. Yeah, okay. So I can't be Machuria. I just give the facts. Those are the facts. And
I noticed you're not wearing it.
Well, I'm not saying what I do under. But I'm not saying I do, I don't think I know. But Lamaita, there is I would not say publicly that one should wear, because Rav Chaim Kanievsky also you shouldn't. And if they say even if it appears to you correct, you still don't go Yamin is small. And Geshe Melter, who's the Rosh Hashiva in the mirror, one of the people in the mirror, said that he can't say to wear because everybody says not to, but he doesn't know why not to wear. So I'm going to come out.
He does.
He He does wear. Yes. He himself knows. Yes. I know. But he doesn't tell anybody to wear. Because he can't tell anybody to wear. If the chachamim of the generation is saying not to, then he's not one to come and say. You do. You can't advise. The pasuk in Shoftim says, if they tell you you're in the small, you listen to what they say. So there's no need for people to go out and buy, seeing as the chachamim say not to, but it's a personal choice if one wants to wear privately. Okay.
So the question you are asking yourself is wrong?
I'm sorry?
Which may be
yeah.
The question you're asking to try to explain to us is wrong?
No, I'm explaining.
Well, you know why?
I'm explaining the Shaila.
Several times a day, we say Shema.
Right.
And it says the purpose of thesis.
Right.
So what? And then, before it's construction of cities.
Right.
Construction of cities was made for a single purpose. To remind us of something.
Whoops. As I said, this is... I was worried about this happening because I have constantly rotating pictures as my background. So, I was like, what's going to happen? It's lucky to get me on the beach.
So, it was the whole design for...